Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Margaret, out of everything that we have talked about, perhaps the thing that has resonated most with our listeners is the concept, what kind of monster?
Hashtag WKOM.
Yes.
Constantly in trend. I mean, what we've learned after over 200 episodes of working together.
Over 300 episodes of working together.
That's true. I was thinking of regular, you know, day-to-day episodes, but you're right. 300 total is that ourselves and our listeners are married to monsters.
And parenting sometimes whole groups of monsters. And are we ever monsters? Yes. Is there a monster in the mirror? Yes, there is sometimes.
Yeah, but we don't want to talk about the monster. Unlike Michael Jackson, we don't want to look at the man in the mirror. We want to just call out other people's monstrous behavior.
That's what we're here for.
Because it's much more fun than looking at ourselves as monsters.
Yes. The most recent example, I have a recent what kind of monster example. What kind of monster puts the leftover pizza away in the enormous cardboard box, which means the refrigerator door can't actually close and leaves it that way till the next morning?
Okay. First of all, as always, me is the person, is the monster who does
that. It is the monster in the mirror.
I mean, you and I disagree, and we've talked about this before. To me, what kind of monster just doesn't finish the pizza? It's gross the next day. I'm not interested in pizza leftovers.
Oh, I mean, I can gently wrap it up in foil, then put it in a Ziploc and stick it in the freezer. It's a quick lunch.
And you'll eat it the next day, not just like in a misery. I feel like eating leftover pizza is the seventh level of hell. It's so sad.
Yeah.
Everything that's good about pizza disintegrates the second you put it away.
It just reminds you of how much better it was last night.
Yes. Oh, that's the only, you're just chasing the high.
Sad.
I mean, my father-in-law completely disagrees. He feels that cold pizza for breakfast is the greatest gift that God ever gave his people.
You can reheat it, you know. You can take it out of the refrigerator and put it in the oven. That's what I'm suggesting.
I mean, it's all horrible to me, so I'm not interested in that. My new what kind of monster is that my tweens, so mine are 9 to 12 right now, and the what kind of monster is, do you need help opening that? No. And then you see it and it is ripped to shreds. Like it's just the cereal box with just the middle. Like it's like a bear opened it. Like the middle has been pried open and then it's just ripped halfway down the side. And then it's like, did you take a slasher knife and just stab the cereal bag inside?
That's what my husband does.
I opened it.
My husband opens the baby carrots that way. You know, he just rips out the middle of the bag. He opens it from the middle, rendering them like dry. You know how the baby carrots get like that white thing on them when you don't, dry out.
I do.
So we get like,
I have
three
follow-up
carrots.
Question.
Yeah.
Do the baby carrots have the resealable top on them?
I mean, probably.
Because that's even more monstrous.
Even worse. It doesn't need to have a resealable top as long as you've created an opening that I can seal off again by simply twisting the bag, but he tears from the middle out.
Yeah, I have to say, I would linger on this topic, but I will, behind the scenes glimpse, Amy and I were actually together with our husbands, which I don't think has almost ever happened before.
We sat at a table, the four of us, yeah.
We sat at a table, and I will say that your David... It was quite confusing because our husbands are both named David. So whenever anyone called David, two people would answer.
Margaret went, David. So that was, and my husband turned around and said,
the first bit of comedy. Yes. But your David very specifically asked me if we could stop goofing on him for all of his crimes on the podcast. I mean, I think he was joking, but I feel that I cannot in good conscience. He might not have been joking. Apparently, he has a problem where people in his office listen to the podcast and then they approach him and they're like, how could you have left the omelet pan for yet another day? Right. And he's like, what are you talking
about? It's going to happen next week. They'll be like, dude, baby carrots just open from the top of the bag.
Yeah. So everyone in David's office, please go up to him and tell him to stop opening the baby carriage from the middle.
Yeah, I don't care if he likes it or not.
I feel like your David is still fighting the reality that he's going to get goofed on. My husband has entered the grim acceptance phase where, like, he just understands that his wife has a podcast where I goof on his foibles. But your David is still... he's still fighting against the restraints. He's like, I might be able to save myself, but he can't.
Look, the point of the what kind of monster phenomenon for all of us, I think, is that, yes, I know these things are little. Yes, I know you can just, you know, get more baby carrots, but it's like, but it drives me crazy. And this is the group of people to whom we can all say, like, this drove me nuts. And everybody else can say, like, yes, I hate it too. I see you.
Yes. We see you. We salute you. We give you the Hunger Games salute in real time. And we also bring you one of our favorite episodes ever
today.
It all. Don't forget to come to our merch store, bit.ly/whatfreshmerch.
Yes.
Did I get it right, Amy?
Yeah, you did. All lowercase.
I did. Good job to me. And buy your What Kind of Monster merch that is available there. And as you do that, enjoy listening to this best of episode, What Kind of Monster?
What kind of masochist hosts a 3-hour birthday party?
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood. And I'm here to stop you from making the same mistake. With Margaret Abels
and Amy Wilson. A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to. Wheat Thins are the worst of all the crackers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Amy.
And this is Margaret. And today we are talking about what kind of monster. Amy, this was a topic suggestion, not by a listener, but by me. I need us to break down what kind of monster does certain things.
All right. Thread the needle for me. What are we talking about here? These are things that you just don't understand why anybody would do them, but some people do?
Yes, I don't understand why any woman would do them.
Okay.
And like, I will admit that some of these things are quite personal. And when I say monster, it's just like going through my day. I'm like, what kind of monster does this? You know, like I find the sponge like soaking in the bottom of the sink and I'm like, what kind of monster would leave a sponge in the water? It's so gross. Do I actually think my family members are monsters? No. But my go-to phrase for people who drive me crazy with their small actions is what kind of monster?
I have a sponge-related what kind of monster because my husband and I completely disagree on this. He thinks that using the sponge that's been hanging around in the kitchen sink for many moons is a great thing to wipe the counters with.
Oh, what kind of monster, Amy? What kind of monster are you married to?
Just throw that out.
This reminds me, I don't remember what the topic was. I think it was, can this marriage be saved? And one of the listeners, guys, if you are not in the What Fresh Hell Facebook group, not just a fan of our page where we talk to you, but in the group, our listeners talk to each other. You have to join because there is some hilarious stuff going on over there. And one of our listeners in Can This Marriage Be Saved, when we were talking about that, said that her husband, instead of untwisting the bread tie at the top of the bread, slices the bag open and eats like bread from the middle.
Just tears a hole. Yep.
And people were like, you need to run for your life. You're clearly married to a sociopath. Like no normal person would ever do this.
So this is broadening the topic to be just the people in your neighborhood who do crazy, crazy stuff.
Oh, and let's be clear. We are not mother judgers around here. We don't like judgment at all. But we do sometimes have to ask the question, what kind of monster?
Right.
So if you were hear yourself referred to as a monster here, listen, do we really think you're a horrible monster? No, but we want to know what kind of monster you are.
We want to know what motivates you.
What the heck motivates you?
I'm a little concerned that some of these things that are coming up might be things that I do.
Oh, you are certainly one of these kind of monsters, Amy, and we will get to that and I will address it with you.
Okay. All right.
I'm here to help you be a better person and not be a monster anymore.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
And so as usual, we went to our Facebook page and we asked people to share with us their own monsters in their own lives and what kind of monsters they were encountering on a daily basis. And I think we'll start strong with Sarah, who says, what kind of monster gives you a toy with thousands of pieces? I understand the need for puzzles and a few sorting toys, but why did I just get gifted a 100-piece play food set for my kids? Why?
I feel like 100 pieces isn't that many pieces.
Oh, Amy, no. This is the kind of thing where, like, someone else brought up electronic toys and someone was like, well, electronic toys, you know, they can't be avoided. They're fine. I mean, I just think if you, when selecting a gift for another human being in your life, you want to run it through the what kind of monster test threshold.
Okay.
You want to ask yourself, like, does this toy have more than, let's say, 10 pieces? I might even say one piece. Like, maybe just give someone a book. It's fine.
Well, I feel like the Melissa and Doug, you know, like, birthday cake set that comes with, like, the 8 pieces and the cake cutter. And that's, like, that's about one of the best things you could get for any kid. They love nothing more than to ask you what kind of pizza you want and then put the little mushrooms on it and bring it over. That's not 100 pieces. That's, like, 40, 50.
It's not 100 pieces, and I would still say that if you gift that to someone else, Amy, your name will be cursed at some point. And you may just have to live with that and accept it and be like, I like the wooden pizza enough to accept that my name will be cursed at some point.
I think the kind of person who is outraged by a 100-piece toy is the kind of person who feels obliged to maintain those 100 pieces in some kind of order. Like, a couple weeks ago, we had a question from somebody asking if she should keep up sorting her children's Legos by type. And, like, yeah, that kind of person would not like a 100-piece set of Legos. But if you don't care if they end up in the garbage 2 days later,
then you might be fine.
This won't bother you, but that would bother you because you hate plastic world.
No, if you're giving me a gift and you're giving my children a gift, under 5 pieces maximum, please.
Okay. All right. I'll keep that in mind.
Otherwise, I'm just saying that I will shake my fist to the heaven at some point and curse your name, because I will be picking up those little mushrooms from the pizza and I will think bad thoughts about you. It's going to happen.
Okay.
Amy, I have a personal what kind of monster.
Okay.
And again, it happens, but I want to know what kind of monster throws a child's birthday party that lasts 3 hours. What is the correct length, Amy, for a child's birthday party?
I mean, I feel like we've decided as a society that it's 2 hours. I think that's at least 30 minutes longer than is really necessary.
The correct length for a child's birthday party is 90 minutes.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, so we're in agreement, yep.
But I understand that, like, if you're renting a place or whatever, you may have to go to 2 hours.
Sure.
And that's got a nice drop-off window and a pickup window.
You're paying for 2 hours.
So, like, 5 minutes in and 5 minutes out, you're shaving that off. But 3 hours is too long, guys. 3 hours is too long.
What kind of masochist is there? Yes. Hosts a 3-hour birthday party?
And also, like, I am in a hostage situation. Like, I can't leave before the cake is served. And I'm just stuck there in hour 2.5. Like, I've been at this horrible, loud place for 2 hours. I want to go home. But I can't pull my kid out because it's like, wait, we're going to miss the pinata. 2 hours max, guys. Max, please. I beg you.
That's a good one because I can't imagine how that works for anyone.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation. And I do think it's an amateur mistake. Listen, have I thrown a child's birthday party that lasted 3 hours? I have, but I've regretted it. And I'm here to stop you from making the same mistake, guys. 2 hours. 90 minutes, you'll be the hit of the town. Everyone will love you.
Amanda has one. She says, what kind of monster offers your toddler some sort of sweet or treat and then looks at you and innocently says, oh, is this okay?
Don't do this, guys. In almost all of these situations, I want to be very clear, I have been the monster.
Yeah. I'm looking within on this one.
I've definitely done it, especially if it's like at pickup. It's like, oh, I brought something for my kid. Your kid's right next to me. Like, can they have it? And I get that, like, it's too late by the time it comes out of your mouth, but it's not wrong. I mean, what kind of monster? It's not to be done, guys. It's forbidden.
Yeah, this is tough when your kid is having a treat and you know, like, oh, here's my friend who only gives them hand-milled oats or whatever. It's a tough one, but always, I guess, move your kid to the side. This isn't actual advice. I get it. I'm getting too serious about this.
But I mean, Here's the thing. This is the difference between like parents and parenting styles and how people parent their kids. Like for me, what kind of monster only serves their child milled oats? But for them, what kind of monster brings like sugary cereal in a tub at pickup, you know?
Right.
We see each other this way, which is part of the problem, maybe.
Right.
Let's go to Krista, who's got, I think this is one we can all agree on, except for the monsters who are actually doing it. Amy, what kind of monster clips their toenails in public spaces?
Oh, my God.
People do it. I mean, that's the thing.
What?
I was once driving with my nephews in a car in traffic. I think it was, I must have been in Chicago where they live. And one of my nephews was like, that guy is shaving. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, I thought they were just having like one of those crazy toddler moments. And I looked over and the guy driving next to us on the highway in traffic was shaving his face with like a cup and a razor. He was shaving in his car, Amy.
I can put a set of circumstances together where that guy was like half an hour late for the most important meeting of his life, right? But I can't figure out what set of circumstances would oblige you to groom your toenails on the way somewhere as opposed to just like wearing closed-toe shoes.
I guess you're not wrong. I mean, let me just say, this guy did not look harassed or rushed. Like, he looked like, oh, it's time for my morning shave while I drive down the highway. And like, maybe what kind of time saver? I mean,
what kind of time saver? That's right.
In some ways, like, what kind of multitasker? Like, maybe he had a more relaxing morning at home because he's like, I've got this 45 minutes in traffic. I might as well shave then. It was just a hilarious sight.
That's the thing. Like, the productivity maven in me sort of tips my hat to that.
Yeah. Amy's like, great, great call. I'm going to start doing that. When you see Amy shaving her legs while she drives down the highway, you'll be like, oh, she just picked up a tip from the What Kind of Monster episode.
Don't worry, I don't shave my legs so often.
Yeah, you're safe.
I'm a real time saver.
Don't have to worry about that. Amy, what kind of monster listens to music or watches videos on their phone in public without headphones?
Oh, this is mine. Like, I was just on a plane on last weekend. And yeah, we're on the plane, like pack plane. And somebody like 10 rows back is playing a video game, like full blast. And my kids were sort of like, do you hear that? Do you hear that? And I wasn't really attuning to it until they pointed it out. It was so...
Until they helpfully helped you attune to it.
Yeah. Is there anything more annoying, like the sound that is sort of barely audible, I think is so much worse than the like that.
Yeah. Didn't you say there's a word for that? Like there's a sensitivity that's like audiophonophobia or something that's like small noises drive you crazy?
I have a touch of that. Misophonia.
Misophonia.
I am a somewhat sufferer. And yeah, that like sort of half noise is crazy. But there's somebody, this guy, oh my gosh, I can't remember his name. Big like social media guy. He actually travels with headphones, like cheapo ones that they give out on airplanes. Like every time they offer you a free set, he just takes it or he grabs them at the gym. He keeps them in his bag because he travels all the time. And if he's sitting next to or across the aisle, somebody who starts this, he just hands them a set of headphones. And
bold move.
The reaction is almost all the time like, oh, thanks. Like, oh, what is this thing I could plug in and listen quietly?
I have conquered flight and yet I am unfamiliar with the concept of headphones.
Yeah. Because you would think people would really not be receptive, but he's like, they honestly usually are like, wow, a free present, thank you. And then they use it.
That's such a dude move, I have to say. The thing of like, hey, I have the solution to this problem. We just complain about it. He's like, here you go. Here are some headphones.
Yeah.
I do want to say, when I had like 2-year-olds, I was sensitive to this, but the like 2-year-old plane flyer is a problem in this area. And I want to say you're no kind of monster if you're having this problem because I've had it. Like the 2-year-old won't keep headphones on and wants to watch the iPad at full volume. So like,
yep.
It is a constant battle. I forgive you if you are under the age of 5 and this is happening.
Yeah, I have been that person on the plane. Like I'm trying to keep Dora like quiet enough. The person doesn't like their seat being kicked.
For only the baby to hear it.
Right. And they also don't want to hear Dora. And it's kind of like, that's one or the other, so let me make it
right. Would you rather hear my kids screaming for Dora or hear like like just creeping up from the seat behind you? Because it's time to make some hard choices,
which is always people like bring your own headphones. I mean, I don't go anywhere without a set of headphones and a
Yeah, you might want to stop this problem at the source by just investing in some noise canceling headphones and sticking those on your head.
Yeah,
because, you know, as we always say on the podcast, the only person you can solve is yourself, guys.
My corollary to this is who speaks on speakerphone in public? They're like on The Real Housewives or something when you can just talk into the phone. Who talks on the phone is the really what kind of monster, right? Who calls people?
What kind of monster makes a phone call? Let's start there. Because it is true that we were just on a break and I had my whole family together, all my siblings. And I had just left my in-law's house with like all those siblings and my sisters-in-law and everybody. Like I had seen everybody in the last week. And I realized, I said at some point while I was sitting in the living room, my phone won't ring all week. Every single person who calls me in real life is in this room.
Oh my gosh.
Like I haven't gotten a phone call in 6 days. My phone is just a brick, basically. It's only for social media because the only people who call me are my sisters, my sisters-in-law, my in-laws, my parents. Like, because we kind of have to make those kind of plans. But like otherwise, phone calls are just out of the question. And occasionally I'll have a text chain going with someone who I think like, you know, we're trying to make a plan. I'm like, oh, that restaurant's actually closed. So we'll have to go somewhere else. And I'll occasionally have to pick up the phone and call people. And I'm always like, I'm so, so sorry for calling you. But I didn't want to get into this whole complicated plan over text. But I always start with an apology because phone calling, it's out the window now.
Right. I have another phone related. What kind of monster? This is mine and it's very deeply held.
Please.
What kind of monster leaves the keyboard clicks setting on that comes like pre-installed on your phone? So that when they're typing.
Oh, you can hear them.
Yeah. So that when you're typing a text or whatever, the phone gives you like.
Right.
Like when you're typing. Who leaves that on?
I mean, people who don't know any better, because I don't even think I knew that was a thing.
People who don't know it could be turned off.
I mean, when I hear that sound, I have like the toggle switch on my phone that turns this sound off. And so, yeah, I think I would just toggle that off once I heard the clicking. But you're saying there are people who will just sit there and be like, click, 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 and they don't care.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was on a long bus ride next to a woman who was and I finally was like, and I tried, I did my headphone trick, like I could still hear it. So I said, do you mind turning that off? And she was like, what is the big deal? And I was like, what is the big deal about toggling that switch on the side of your phone? So I don't have to.
You're like, ma'am, I am a sufferer of, what is it called?
Misophonia.
Misophonia.
Like I could punch you or you could toggle the switch. Like, why do you need to hear each letter as you type it? And why does that, why do you want that in your world? What kind of monster?
What kind of monster? All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value. More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practiced after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SPORTSRESEARCH, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
Amy, we're back, and I have one more phone thing before we move on.
Okay. Because we live on our phones, so it makes sense that this would be.
Yes. What kind of monster has a phone that rings at the movie theater and answers the phone to say, I'm at the movies, I can't talk now? This happened to me once. My sister was in a play. My sister's an actress, which is somewhat how I know Amy. They're friends. And she was in a play. I mean, it was like an Irish drama. I mean, not that it makes any difference, but it wasn't like people were like singing and kicking and dancing. People were like, we're in the famine and people are dying. Like, it was a depressing play, you know?
Not a land with phones.
It was not a land with phones. And it was not like, well, we're all just having a party here with the teacups. We might as well answer our phones. It was like people were like dying in Ireland. We're all sitting there watching it. And someone's phone rang and they picked it up and they were like, hey, sorry, I'm just at the theater. Hold on. Let me walk out and we can talk.
Oh, my God.
And then like stood up and continued their conversation while they like stood up and walked out of the theater.
I have definitely been on stage when this happens. I've been in the audience when this happens. And as a performer, I think what these people don't get is like, you're not at the Hall of Presidents at Disney World. Like the actors on stage can also hear you. Like not only are you completely distracting everybody in the audience, but you're ruining the play. Like the actors are like, oh my God, somebody just answered their phone.
That's right. You kind of think you're at the movies. Like you're mistaken about where you are.
Yes.
I have a funny story about that, which is that on the topic of like people not understanding that like there's a real experience going on. I was at a book festival once in LA. I will say this story is also an oldie lux alert.
Back in my day.
And we saw this actress, Jane Seymour. Do you know who that is? She used to star in a show called Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
I do.
And she walked up to the booth that we were standing by and my friend was pointing at her and she was like, that's that lady from Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. And I'm like, yeah, she can hear and see you. She's standing right next to us. Like her finger was like right in her face. And she was like, I was like, that's not a wax figure. That's a human being who can see you. And I think that I'm sure that Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman would have been like, what kind of monster points in my face and screams, that's Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. But like, she literally did not really cognitively understand that, like, that's just a human being.
Yeah.
It's not just like suddenly a wax figure has popped up in our lives.
Yep.
Of a celebrity.
Yep. Don't talk at plays. Don't answer phones.
So understandable, but still monstrous. That's what we're saying. I think about most of these things fall into the category of understandable yet monstrous.
Kelly says, this is one that like, it's my like life's work to correct this. She says, what kind of monster ignores the line of traffic patiently waiting to merge and drives directly to the front of the line?
This caused some hot controversy, some hot takes on the Facebook page.
Really?
Because people were arguing that, in fact, in driver's ed, what they teach you, I think we're talking about two different things. It's like when you come to a merge, you're supposed to zipper merge one car, then the next car, then one car, then the next. That's an efficient merge system.
Yes.
But we're talking about people who there's already a zipper merge going on and they decide to create a new lane of merging where they come around the people correctly zippering and come to the front.
Well, they cause troubles for everyone because like I'm thinking of a particular exit that always gets backed up a lot. And, you know, people are waiting for half a mile to make this exit on the highway. And then somebody zips up to where they exit. And then everybody's like, not today. I am not letting you in.
Not today, Satan. It's not happening.
Right.
Back off.
Right.
I will say, I mean, this is the problem with playing What Kind of Monster, Amy. There's always another side to the story. Like I have often... We live in the suburbs of New York City and often we're driving in on kind of unfamiliar roads. And then you're like, oh, let's go around this traffic. And then you're like, oh, no, that traffic was actually the traffic trying to get off the exit that I now have to get off of.
Right.
And suddenly you're that person.
Suddenly you are that person. That's right.
You're trying to get in and you want a little sign for your window that says like not a monster, just confused.
Right.
At that point.
We should sell those. I'd buy one.
Let's sell back of the screen. Like just a little sign that any given time you can pull out that reads not a monster, just confused. Because I feel like there's a lot of confusion that goes into this.
There's a need for that. Like there's a need for a universal sign when we're driving that's like, you're right. I'm wrong. So sorry.
Yes. A hand gesture.
Sort of the raised hand of beneficent greeting kind of works, but... They're really mad.
Yeah, there's a lot of like undertones. Like I saw somebody posting this week that like somebody flipped them off in traffic while they were taking their dog to be put down. And it's like, right, you need to understand that like I'm not in a good headspace right now. But so we need like a flurry of signs. Like I'm not in a good headspace right now.
I actually really am in a hurry, right? Like,
right. Listen, my toddler just had a blowout. Like I really need to get home. I'm not sure. You know what we need is like those signs. You can type in a message and it plays on the back of your car.
Yes. Mommy merge.
I mean, I can't see any problem with typing a sign on the back of your car while driving. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, you can have default messages like mommy merge, like, you know, I'm having let down and my baby is screaming in the back. I really need to get home.
Exigent circumstances. That's all you can say. Please let me in. It's really an emergency. This reminds me.
That is the fury that plays in my head when I am that person, because I'm an obliger. So I'm waiting in that line of traffic and then somebody's trying to zip in and I'm trying not to let them in until it becomes like, why am I like being actively unsafe and risking a fender bender to teach this person a lesson? But I'm always like saying to myself.
Right. And that person is never going to be like, that person really taught me a good lesson today.
Yeah. They're not taking the note from me.
About proper traffic maintenance. No.
But I'm always sitting behind the wheel saying like, oh, you're the one who's busy. Oh, I was wondering who it was. Oh, you're the one who has to get somewhere today. I heard about you. You're
Mr. Important. Yes, there you go. This reminds me of my ex-boyfriend used to always say, because when we lived in San Francisco, there was no eating or drinking allowed on the BART train. And he was like, they should have a system where you can take a test that proves that you're a responsible eater and drinker and allow you to eat. Like, you should be able to get a card that's like, I'm allowed to eat on the BART train. He's like, I'm a very neat eater. I understand that there's an overall policy, but I feel like I could prove that I'm responsible enough to have a snack on the BART train.
I feel similarly that there should be a line at airport security, like I have never flown before, or like the line for people who are going to be shocked that they have to take their shoes off and ask a couple of times before they do it. You know, like that kind of thing. I think we need a line for beginners at the airport.
Yeah, that's right. Beginner, intermediate, expert, except for like spoiler alert.
Yes.
Everyone would be like, I'm a pro at this. I got this.
Right.
And I am still that person who like gets to the front and I'm like, oh man, I was drinking a bottle of water in the car. Sorry, I put it in my bag.
Oh, it's you.
I mean, it's totally me. I am what kind of monster? I am like the disorganized hot mess monster in everyone's lives. Like that person who's like, sorry, I got a merge. I didn't know where I was. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize I forgot my laptop again. Like I am that monster and I fully embrace that monsterhood because
you know what kind of monster you are.
I know exactly what kind of monster I am. I am the monster who makes my disorganization your problem all day, every day. And sorry, guys. Apologies. My bad.
While we're confessing, I'm going to say that I am this kind of monster. Inez says, what kind of monster doesn't pss at a cat when they see them?
Me too.
Me is that kind of monster.
We definitely had some like, what kind of monsters doesn't like dogs? I feel that's just a personal attack on me. I don't like dogs. I don't like any animals. And I understand that when you like animals, one thing you can never convince people of is that you don't like animals. And I understand why people are like, Twitter is always like, only psychopaths don't like dogs. Color me psychopath, Amy. I don't like pets.
Yeah, there's a weird sort of superiority that goes on among dog lovers or cat lovers, or of course, like little kid lovers, right? Like what kind of person? Like there are definitely people out there. Some of them are dog and cat lovers who just don't like little babies, like don't move the needle for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, those are your kids? Oh, anyway. And you're like, wait, don't you think like a toddler is cute? Like they're just missing that chip. And I wonder about that, but they just don't have it. Like, good for them.
Oh, I'm totally that kind of monster. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I think kids are cute, but I'm not like, oh, baby. I don't know. I'm like, I get it. A baby. As my grandfather used to say when it was announced, when anyone was pregnant in the family, it doesn't take brains, Amy.
No.
Just got yourself a baby. Good for you. Let's move on.
Similarly, the appeal of a cat eludes me and always will. I'm that kind of monster.
The idea that you would walk into a house and actively engage with a cat is just, what kind of monster would expect that from me?
Oh, and what kind of cat like wants to engage with you? It seems to me that they're all like, they are the epitome of disinterested.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point of cats, is like that you don't have to engage with them at all.
Right.
That's the appeal.
Right, they hate you.
So, they hate you and you like it. That's it.
They just give off such a like, I don't have any time for any of you. And although I will say a cat always seems to seek me out. Like I feel like cats can find the non-cat lover in the room.
The non-cat person, yeah.
And go up to your leg.
My cat is great because if anyone tries to touch her, she bites them. And I'm like, that's the kind of cat I like. I like a cat that's like, nope, no thanks. I'm all good.
Clear boundaries.
Boundaries. She has stated her boundaries, people. Let's talk about, we have a lot of parking monsters.
Okay.
What kind of monster parks diagonally across two parking spaces? Again, this is monstrous behavior if it's just like I'm entitled and I don't care about anyone else. But I am a horrible driver and a terrible parker. And I have a lot of trouble.
I'm a bad parker. Like a parking lot parker you're bad at?
Like I cannot even pull my car in between two lines. That is really hard for me.
Mm, why is that hard? Is it a big car?
Yeah, I drive a huge minivan.
Okay.
And I don't know why I find it challenging. I'm spatially challenged. And I will say, I'm not trying to pull the card, but I do have a sight problem. That means I have trouble with depth perception. I don't know if that's part of the problem, but I can't park between the lines. But I will say I try like 12 times because I know it is unacceptable to cross the line with my car. But if on like the 12th time my tire is still touching the line, I gotta go. I'm sorry. I need a sign that says I'm a terrible parker and I'm doing my best.
You need one of those new cars. Are those Teslas? Like, what are the cars that just go like beep, boop, beep, boop, 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 and they just park themselves?
Do you understand that the only invention I care about in the world is the driverless car?
Are you signed up? Are you on board?
No, because they're like $8 million, but...
No, I mean, but like, I meant hypothetically, are you like, I am first in line for one of those. You would do it no problem?
Yes, absolutely. That's the only invention I care about. People get on it. If you're working on anything else, I don't care about it. I don't need like faster airplanes. I just need a driverless car. That's what I want because
for Christmas.
Driving is a huge part of my life, but everyone has to have them really, I guess. But I don't want to ever drive again. I'm a bad driver and I find it very intimidating. And I'm like a 90-year-old lady in a car. I can't park. I don't like to drive at night. I'm very, very upset by driving.
But you know, see, this is what I'm understanding now about being one of these monsters. As long as you know that it's you and it's not other people, like, yeah, I don't like to drive. You're owning it. I'm a terrible parker.
I am owning that. I have to own it. But I do feel upset that people think I'm a monster when I'm really just a very bad driver.
This needs to be flashing in the back of your car, right?
I need this. We're going to invent a What Fresh Hell branded sign for the back of your car that tells people like, I'm sorry, I got lost and now I have to merge. And like, I apologize. I'm a bad parker, but not a bad person.
So, Laura, that's who parks diagonally across two spaces. Margaret.
But there's also people who are like, they drive like a really fancy car. The one thing I will say for myself is I drive like a dented minivan with like bad bumper stickers on the back that like have my kids' gymnastic place on them. So like, I'm not like pulling up in my like whatever $400,000 Tesla and just taking up spots because I can. Does that excuse me? Tell me I'm not a monster.
This is what I mean. I think, yes, you're explaining yourself. We need a little more understanding in this world is what I'm saying. And I'm learning that owning that you are part of the problem is the first step to unity. Yes.
To stopping being a monster. All right. Let's talk more about that after the break.
Margaret, I've been at the research again, looking into metabolic health and more importantly, metabolic flexibility, which turns out is the key to improved energy levels, better sleep, better fitness, all the things. And I found out about all this because we got a chance to try Lumen, the first handheld device that helps you manage your metabolic health.
Lumen works when you breathe into it. If you do that first thing in the morning or after a workout, Lumen measures your metabolism by measuring the amount of carbon dioxide in your breath. It's science, people. That lets you see exactly what's going on in your body in real time.
Then you use Lumen's app to get tailored guidance to improve your sleep, your nutrition, even stress management. If you're interested in figuring out the effects of different sorts of foods on your body, Lumen is a really cool way to see what's actually happening as your body burns different fuel sources.
If you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fresh to get $100 off your Lumen.
That is lumen.me, lumen.me, and use the code Fresh at checkout for $100 off.
Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent. And I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
In a world where moms are just trying to get through their days in peace,
there is darkness lurking everywhere.
Mom, listen to this awesome drum set Aunt Kate got me.
What? What kind of monster buys a 9-year-old a full drum set?
A new kind of monster movie for today's mom.
What kind of monster?
Are you kidding me? I've been waiting for that parking space patiently for 3 minutes with my blinker on, and you just drive past me and steal it?
What kind of monster?
Why are you knocking on the bathroom door stall on an airplane when it clearly says occupied?
What kind of monster?
The word is library. Library. There is no such thing as a library.
What kind of monster?
Who left 1 minute and 36 seconds of time on the microwave? Stop messing with my mind!
What kind of monster?
Honey, go on up to bed. It's the first day of school tomorrow after break, and it's getting late.
Yeah, so I have to write a 10-page paper on the moon as a symbol in Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, and I have to do a diagram of the stage, and it's due tomorrow.
What kind of monster?
Coming forever to your lives everywhere, every day.
Rated M for Monster. Amy, I have to ask you, have you seen the clip? We should have done this while we were talking about airplanes. It's going around right now. And it's a woman on a plane and she's sitting in the front of the plane where the screens are like on the front wall. And she has removed her shoes and she is scrolling through the choices of movies available on the plane with her big toe.
With her bare, right, no sock, big toe.
Bare toe. Yeah. I mean, and people are like, oh, I mean, is there possibly another side to that story?
You know, my 15-year-old who will take the other side of any argument, like he is here to take the other side. His other side of that one, when he saw that, we're like, ew, isn't that gross? He's like, what kind of person would videotape that and put it on the internet instead of just going up to them and saying, can you not do that? And I was like, I think me, I think I might. I'm like, this will go viral.
I think I might. I mean, is public shaming a good thing? It is not.
Well, you're not like you didn't dox the person. I think it is good public shaming in case there are monsters out there who think that you should touch stuff on the airplane with your bare feet. But he was like, just say something.
Yeah, there's another one that it set off a round of other people. There was another one with like a guy who stuck his bare feet through the airplane gap and had his bare foot on the armrest of the person sitting in front of him.
Oh, hell no.
Like, I mean, even that, I could see where you're sitting on a plane, you're tired, you have your shoes off, and you're like, oh, leaning forward is making me uncomfortable. I guess I'll just swipe through with my feet. I can see, I mean, it's not okay, but I can see the logic process of that. How you're like, I'm going to stick my bare foot on the armrest of the person in front of me. That's lost to me. Not possible.
Mm. And I do think that my teenager's onto something, though, is like people sometimes need to like have it pointed out to them. I think maybe they don't know. I'll fess up to my own what kind of monster on an airplane. This is years ago. Like, you know, like I was barely out of college and I was flying to California. And so I brought a lot of stuff to do for a long flight. And I was doing my nails, like, you know, in the seat.
Oh.
And I was doing this for 5 or 10 minutes before a flight attendant came over, like, you can't do that on an airplane. And I was like, oh, okay. And like, I put it away. And it was only later that I'm like, oh, right. Cause it like smells like, okay. I thought it was the best idea I ever had to do my nails on an airplane. I had like nothing to do but sit there.
This is the thing with the girl with the feet. Like, I get where sometimes you just get in that zone where you're like, oh, the screen is a little bit far and I have to basically bend in half to press it. But look, if I just lean back and do it with my feet, it's convenient. Like, I understand that sometimes you make poor choices. But
how do you feel about a sock on the foot and doing that?
I mean, it's not acceptable. I don't want anything to do with your feet ever.
Yeah.
Feet are gross and like
there are certain things where like people are like, you shouldn't sleep with socks on. You should. Who cares? But universally, we have decided as a society that we don't want to deal with other people's feet in public spaces. And you have to abide by that.
Right.
And I would say like the same thing, like you don't want to deal with anyone else's body. And even if it didn't smell bad, painting your nails is gross on a plane because you're dealing with like bodily stuff in public. It's not acceptable.
I mean, I totally agree, but I'm just saying it to be like, I needed to have that pointed out to me.
Yeah, no. I just think like there are things that are preferences and there are things that are just, we've decided that we're not doing this, guys. My husband loves to wear, they're not quite flip-flops. It doesn't have the thing between your toes, but it's like a sandal with just one strap across the front. Can you picture what I'm talking about?
Sure.
And even though he wears them on a plane, and I'm like, I don't think you should subject other people to your feet on a plane. Even just sitting in sandals, I think it's wrong.
I think you should bring socks. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he thinks I'm crazy, but I just feel like people don't want to see other people's feet. And we've decided that as a society.
And you're just forced into such close relationship for a long time on an airplane, right?
If you're on the beach, fine. I can see your feet. But on an airplane, your feet should be covered. I believe that strongly. And I will stick to that story.
I'm going to back you up on that.
Thank you.
You should travel with socks to hand out. Like, oh, look at this free pair of socks.
Hi. Wouldn't it be funny if someone came up to my husband on a plane and was like, sir, I see your hairy feet stickles and I would like you to put these on to cover them up.
His feet stickles?
I don't know. They're just, feet are so gross.
Hairy feet are worse. I don't want to see his hairy feet. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, my husband has hairy feet. Like everyone has hairy feet at a certain point. They're like, we're part hobbit, you know, like put those things away, people. Here's a preference thing for me that has become a what kind of monster thing for Laura. What kind of monster puts a box of Wheat Thins back in the cabinet where there are only two whole crackers, a few sad half crackers, and crumbs?
Literally every monster in my house.
And I want to back up and say, what kind of monster eats Wheat Thins?
Not you.
Wheat Thins are the worst of all the crackers.
They're the ones that are sort of like thatchy, right?
Oh, exactly. They're like bark, salty, slightly sweet bark. They're horrible.
Yeah, not me.
So I would say what kind of monster has Wheat Thins in their house? But you're right. What kind of monster puts them back? There is no excuse for this kind of monster, guys. There is no other. Even your son who finds the other side of everything cannot find the other side for what kind of monster puts Wheat Thins, two Wheat Thins back.
No, but the first thing he would need to do is fess up to being this person because all my kids are this person. And then are mad. And then like, oh,
there's no Wheat Thins.
And then all three of my kids totally do that. They'll be like, there's no snacks. I'll be like, that's because you put the empty bags back in the cabinet and you didn't tell me.
Amy, let's talk about what kind of monster. I feel this one is a little controversial. Doesn't return their shopping cart and leaves it blocking another space.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Me? Depends on how full the parking lot is and how far the place to return it is.
Angela says if a mother with kids can return her cart to the correct place at Target or the grocery store, you can too. I once was with my father-in-law. This was years and years ago. We were returning carts and this is the problem. There's a bit of entrapment, I think, that goes on here. There were already four abandoned carts in a clearly empty space. And I was going to put the cart there. And he's like, oh, I just never want to be the person who doesn't return their shopping cart. And he said it with like complete derision in his voice. And now like crying baby in the car, 20 degrees outside, pouring rain. I'm like, I have to bring the cart back because I just hear his voice echoing. I never want to be the person who doesn't. And I'm like, I feel it is acceptable to leave the cart with the other four abandoned carts, but maybe that's more.
No, I will do that. I will append my cart to the end of the nearest new spot to leave your cart that has already been established.
The nearest island of abandoned carts.
Yeah, I'm not going to start a new spot where a bunch of people have left their carts, but I guess, yes, if there is an extra spot where several people have left the cart, it means that the other one is too far away and by now it has become acceptable to default leave your cart there. I'm that kind of monster.
You're going with the flow on the cart monsterness.
I am.
I mean, I do think it's kind of monstrous, but I will say our shopping store, our grocery store,
Foodstuffs Emporium.
The Foodstuffs, our market to me, their cart return placement is bonkers, but I'm assuming it's because people want to park closer to the store. And so it really is like they're become like cart islands all over the parking lot. And I do occasionally avail myself of the shopping cart island, and I'm not proud of it. I know I'm a monster, but I do it sometimes.
Yeah, this one is not one I feel strongly about, but I guess, you know what? Maybe it's the New York City girl in me. I'm not in parking lots four times a week.
Yeah, well, you don't deal with it that much. I mean, I do think like there are issues like you block handicap spaces. You like it dinks people's cars, like just put your cart back probably. But sometimes I am like going to shopping cart island and running away fast. I am that kind of monster sometimes.
Inez is very specific. She says she thinks that anybody who reverses into parking spots at Home Depot, Lowe's, or IKEA is a monster. I'm not sure why she's calling out those stores.
Yeah, Inez would hate my husband because Inez was like really hot on what kind of monster she had a bunch of them for. She also was the person who wants you to make sounds at cats, which we've already shot down. But is the problem? I don't exactly know. My husband is a huge parking spot reverser, and we have had the marital conversation that it is not always appropriate to reverse in. Like, he basically won't park unless he reverses into a spot. And there are times where I'm like, can we not go through this whole exercise? And I saw...
Because it takes too long? Are you holding everybody up while you're like... adjusting your exact back in?
It's just a lot. Like, is it this just becoming a thing that like it's some weird thing you have to prove to yourself? Like, can we just sometimes just pull in and go to the movies? Like, do we always have to spend the extra? And I just saw, I think his name's Trey Kennedy. Is that the guy who does all the really funny videos, like the middle schooler? He was saying like the logic of it makes no sense to him. Like, you back into a spot where there's like a very, very finite amount of space. And then you back out of a spot where there's tons of space. Like, why are you backing in the first place? I hadn't given this a lot of thought, and I'm not sure there's monsterdom involved in it, but I would say in general, I mean, I love to get in a car that's facing out because, again, I'm a very bad driver. I would never attempt to back into a spot because, like, I would ruin eight cars in the whole parking lot just trying, so I would never even attempt this, but I understand why it's annoying.
I wonder how Inez would feel and how you would feel about what I do, which is like, I'll find a parking spot where you can pull in not only to the spot, but to the spot in front of it, thereby pulling into a spot, but creating an exit for yourself where you can drive forward out of the spot. You see what I'm saying?
I have real life experience with this, Amy. I usually love to do that. But then one time I was pulling forward into a spot while a guy who I didn't see was trying to pull into that spot, and we almost hit each other, and he yelled at me and told me that what I was doing was unacceptable. And I was like, really? This has literally never occurred to me that this would be a dangerous thing to do.
Okay.
I know.
I'm going to ponder that. I'm going to keep that in my heart.
I mean, ponder it. I don't know. Who's in the right there? This is the other thing. People go through the world being like, I know what's right. And he was like really giving me the what for. Like, one should never pull across. That's not. And I was like, whoa, okay, dude. You've given this a lot more thought than I have.
I think if somebody else thinks that you're a monster for pulling into a parking spot the wrong way, I think you can sort of consider it without letting it ruin your day. And maybe.
Well, this is the battle, isn't it, Amy? Can we? I don't know. I don't think most people can. And, you know, it's definitely really what we're coming to while we discuss these monstrous things is that I say it all the time. The hardest thing to do in this life is to understand the world through someone else's eyes. Like, it's just so difficult. And it comes up all the time for us as moms, right? That you're like, what kind of monster would hold her baby and run across a parking lot without even putting her in a stroller? And it's like, you don't really understand that that woman just got out of the car and was like, I'm going to leave my toddler sleeping and run in. You know what I mean? Like, you're constantly thinking monstrous things of others when really there's probably a legit side to their story.
A little context.
Except for people who eat Wheat Thins.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other side to that story.
Or who leave the keyboard clicks on. They have to be stopped, but...
No, they have to be stopped. I just think I run towards the non-confrontational, and the idea that I would ever walk up to someone and be like, here's headphones, or could you turn your keyboard clicks off? I just suffer in silence, and then I rant about them on my podcast. That's how I handle it. Like, I would never actively engage with another human and try to make things right.
If you do it politely, like I just was on a plane last month with a guy who, even though we were in the air and he was supposed to have airplane mode on, his phone was like, ding, 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 ding. He was getting lots of notifications on his phone with the freaking ding on every time, right? So finally, it was like making my blood pressure rise, and I had to sit next to this guy for like 4 hours. So finally, I was like, do you mind just turning that sound off? And he was a little startled, but then he was like, oh, okay. Like, again, like, he's the kind of monster who leaves that on all the time. It doesn't, like, even register with him, right? And it was driving me nuts. He was polite enough to turn it off and, like, didn't start a fight. I was ready for him to be unpleasant about it. He wasn't at all. Anyway, get to where I'm going. Go to a cocktail hour. Guess who I get introduced to?
Him.
Him.
Oh, my gosh.
Him. So I was so, like, if I knew I was going to have to talk to him at a cocktail hour, I probably wouldn't have done that, and then, like, seized with anger.
So did he say something about it?
I was like, we just sat in a plane next to each other. And he's like, oh, yes, hello.
Right, but he wasn't.
And he said, I hope I was a nice seatmate. And I'm like, absolutely.
But that's the thing. I mean, he doesn't even remember that. But I do think for some people, like, I was once on the quiet car of Metro North with two friends of mine. I kind of spoiled the ending because we just basically sat down on the train and we were just like, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God. And have you seen Sheila? She's incredible. We were just talking in like unbelievably loud voices. And we literally, it never occurred to us that like no one else on this train car is speaking at all.
Yeah.
And finally a guy stood up and tapped one of us or like just leaned in or whatever. It was like, this is the quiet car. And we were like, oh. Oh, and we were quiet, but I'm not gonna lie, I was mad at him all day. I was still mad at him for scolding us. Like, it's hard. Like, even when you're totally in the wrong, like, nobody really wants to be told what to do fundamentally. Don't you think that's true?
Yes.
Or am I just crazy?
Yes, but it occurs to me just based on the examples that we've given today that very often the monster doesn't know that they're being a monster. And if you can ask nicely,
they will still hate you, but it will stop maybe.
Instead of carrying that resentment around to your grave, right? And the world might be a better place.
It's possible. I'm not really sure there's a solution to this, Amy. We're supposed to be heading to, we solved it. But I mean, I guess if it's driving you crazy, you could try to fix it. You can also just write things about them on Facebook or Instagram or take videos of them and share them on social media. That's another way to handle this situation.
We want to see, though, all of those things.
Do not share pictures of people's feet with us on our Facebook page, guys.
No.
We want to hear about what kind of monsters you're dealing with in your life. And you can come to our Facebook page at facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast and tell us. That's all I have.
You can also come to Instagram at WhatFreshHellCast. You can go to Twitter at WFHPodcast. This is not really a Twittery conversation, but you can always find us there.
And you can find us on our website at WhatFreshHellPodcast.com. This week, there won't really be a ton of show notes because we didn't reference a lot of...
No research.
Oh, no research. We know what kind of monsters are out there. We don't need to research it. But you can come there and find out how to leave a review for the podcast, which we would love, love, love for you to do. That is the thing that most helps us get the word out to other people. So come to What Fresh Hell Podcast, click on the sidebar that says how to write a review, and go write us a review of the podcast. We'd love it.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you next time.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Bree.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Bree, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof. Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders. Mm-hmm. And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of there, life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking.